Hey, just before we get to into the Word, we have a honeymoon couple back from their honeymoon from France. We really need to have Mr. and Mrs. Elisha Janes. Would you just stand and take a curtain call? Just there they are, Elisha and Ashley Janes. Yeah. Sweet. Very, very good. Well, I love that. Straight from their tour. Here they are, Hope Chapel. Hey, I want to highlight as well, just that before we just, as is our custom, pray that the Lord would open the Word to us. You might have received notice, June Costanza went home to be with the Lord early this morning about midnight. And so her long, lengthy life, especially her continual faith and strong stance against cancer. But we were just honored, Ainsley and I were to see her and visit with her, especially with her three daughters as well. Sean Knight, her grandson, is here. So Sean, our sincere sympathy to you and your family who are here this morning. Also, it's important because many of you know also Jane Martin, that is her mommy. So we want to just continue to just pray even as we begin with the Word. Shall we do that? Father, thank you for the life of June and all the many ways with which she's played a role in this church, and especially through her legacy of her family, her children, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. So, Lord, we love to see, as you see, how precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. So, Lord, it's just a change of life for June. So, Lord, thank you that she's living on. Thank you, Lord, that we have our responsibility here. So help us to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. It's what a church does best. And Lord, help us to gather strength and momentum as we get around your Word this morning, all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our bulletins. You'll see on the back of the bulletin today's message. Today's message, it's entitled, Tapping into a Miracle. So thrilled that we get a chance to take a look at that. Next week, we're going to be introducing our wonderful new couple on staff, Zach and Karis Iflin. And Zach will be bringing the message next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, Karis, wait till you hear from this couple and see and hear their spirit. You're going to just adore everything that the Lord's bringing to our church. And the timing of it all is just outstanding. But for today, we want to take a look at some miracles because you know we've been enjoying some aspects about learning to listen, listen for the voice of God, listen for the will of God, and that we just came back from visiting a land that just is littered with sites where miracles have happened. We just came back from Israel. So thank you. Many of you were on that tour with us. It was outstanding, literally miraculous, well cared for by God, and we're grateful for that. And when we take a look at miracles, I want to just really start by saying so many of us grew up in church, and we read about the Bible with regards to so much of the Bible is all about miracles. Miracle after miracle. We all know stories like Moses parting the Red Sea. We've all heard or maybe enacted about David slaying Goliath. Many of us are very familiar with Daniel surviving a night in the lion's den. We're aware of how Jesus just healed one right after the other. It's amazing how so many stories in Scripture, and to be there in Israel and be at sites where these accounts took place, it's amazing. Now, when we take a look at miracles today, I want to just let you know, with regards to that, I'm anticipating a greater flow of God's grace here at our church. I'm just anticipating it. I'm expecting some beautiful things. We've already seen plenty of good things that have been happening. You, by way, are a great miracle in itself. But when we start dealing with the area of miracles, we want to just highlight, first of all, my simple little 4 points are so simple. I thank God for them. Because I do want to highlight this, in no way are we trying to say, hey, we're going to push God's button or somehow compel him to do something. You and I know that we just don't. But there are some very simple reminders that we need to be a part of to say, okay, we can tap in to these miracles that God promises us. So God is for you. Can you just say that? God is for me. Let's just say that again with conviction. God is for me. And he really is. So a miracle, by definition, is a supernatural intervention of God in the affairs that of just natural elements. It's amazing when that happens. Now, one of the things I want to highlight before we even get into this, because when we talk about miracles, you probably have needed a miracle in the past, right? Or you need a miracle right now, or you're going to need a miracle in the future. So it's going to be important that you take a look at that. And one of the most important things for us to just discover is, how do you tap into a miracle? Because when the storms hit your life, storms are going to just rock your faith and weaken it. So it's important you understand and see some of the things we're going to just kind of tap into and say, ah. Because there'll be a time that you're going to need that kind of miracle. Why does it appear, some people would ask, that we don't see as many miracles as we read about in scriptures? Well, we know this. Is it the fact that God somehow changed? We don't believe that. God's the same. Isn't Hebrews 13:8, right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what we have right above our stage here. So with that, there's an element where some might say, well, maybe God just, he's just indifferent or he's weakened. We don't believe that as well. So when we take a look at why are we not seeing miracles as plentiful as we have in Scripture, then we just need to realize, well, there could be a place that we play out in that. So let me just highlight, first of all, there is a difference between blessing and miracle. Blessing and miracle. Blessing is better. Miracle is where you have a big time involvement of God, where there's a big time need, a supernatural intervention of God. Whenever you see in Scripture, big time need, big time miracle. The problem with having just go from miracle to miracle is that would mean that your life is going from crises to crises. A blessing is much better than a miracle. Much better to be in the blessing than to go from miracle to miracle. And the blessing is where it just flows in the natural course of just nature or man's involvement. Just the blessing of God just flows. It's wonderful when a person is in that blessing. For example, our time in Israel was one that just had a perfect example where we're walking and experiencing the blessing. When we had certain events that took place, everything from just our bus and our lineup, our accommodations, our food, it just felt like, man, there's hand of God, the interaction of people, the attitude of everybody, just had go-for-it spirit. Phenomenal. Here's one example. I have a couple of pictures if we're ready for that. One was we stopped in Bethlehem. So as we take a look, maybe a little, some of you are saying, are we going to get a full report, Pastor Paul, of your time in Israel? Well, no, but I'm going to give you one example. And follow me on Twitter. You'll see some examples on Twitter. That's for sure. But here we have an image of us visiting what's called the Shepherd's Field. We're in one of the caves. You can see it's black at the top. That's usually because a lot of the smoke that's burnt out in those caves. And you have to the right there, that's Jamie Russell. She was selected to read the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. And so in that, she did a great job. And we're all in that cave all by ourselves. It was an amazing experience. What was so amazing about it? Well, we traveled to Israel at the height of tourism. It's great weather, October, November, and it just feel like bus after bus was everywhere we were going. But the blessing, when we went into the Shepherd's Field right there in Bethlehem, we recognized there are hundreds of people already combing over these fields. And so we went into the little chapel that's above this cave. I mean, everything that would be noteworthy has a chapel or a church. You wouldn't know something significant there if the Byzantines didn't come through or somebody built a church. Why is this church here? Well, this marks the spot. So our guide said, you know, it's so busy in the caves. There's so many people. Maybe you should do your reading in the chapel. And I said, no, let's just make our way down and just see what will be available. Because you just trust the Lord. Lord, we're moving in a blessing. We're here. We made significant investment. We're here in time. We go down there, and the last group, large group, comes out of this cave, and we go right in. We are the only one. Somehow, everybody got on their bus, and we had the field to ourselves. It was amazing, so much so that the tour guide waited outside while we're in there with our reading, and now we're singing Christmas hymns. Oh, Silent Night, huh? Can you get into that? First Noel, I mean, here it is, beautiful October, and we're getting very festive. But the presence of the Lord. And we come out when we're done. And the guide says, I've never seen this happen. There's literally hundreds of people all week crowded on this patio waiting to get into the caves. I said, please tell that to our group. They just need to hear that, didn't they? She said, listen, it was amazing. And then she directed us to a cliff area overlooking the next photo would be the hills of Bethlehem. And you may not quite be able to see it as clearly, but just beautiful. The elements of the hills of Bethlehem. Now, naturally, you would say, well, that must be what it was like when the angels appeared and gave the birth announcement. You know, does God know how to give a birth announcement, huh? Angelic choir. But also, as you know, in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, it's beautiful to take a look at these hills. Because also, these are the hills of Boaz. Remember Boaz? The book of Ruth? Ruth faithful to Naomi, her mother-in-law, when all three of these women lost their husbands. And we could see from our vantage point the mountains of Moab, where they came back to Bethlehem. It's the most amazing thing. And so we're here on the hills of Bethlehem, where Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer. Ooh, I love those stories like that. That's one of my favorite books. Very romantic. And the other thing is, in the hills of Bethlehem here, another storyline was a little shepherd boy, soon to be the king of Israel, right here. These were the hills that he told Saul and others, hey, God delivered me from the mouth of the bear and of the lion. We didn't come across any of them there, but it's amazing when you see those areas. We had that vantage point. We loved how God brought the blessing on our trip. There are many other occasions. The house of Caiaphas. I've been there where it was just one streamline of people trying to go down into the cellar of the home where they held prisoners. And they believed Jesus was held there and quite tortured. We were there in that little, looked like a cell. Dark, all by ourselves, and Ainsley read from Isaiah 53. We sang a little bit. It's amazing. Nobody else. And when we left, again, streams of people came in. The blessing of the Lord. It's wonderful when you just enjoy the blessing of the Lord. And I'll go ahead and we'll bring it back to our outline. But that's an example, not only of our trip, just the goodness of God dealing with us the way he did. I like moving and living in blessing. But we're talking about miracles today because you and I are going to need a miracle. Maybe you're in need of a miracle today. Miracles might be required when it comes to a point of maybe a person in their finances. Man, you just don't know how you're going to put things together in your financial situation. Possibility where you just got a call from the doctor and it's very grim news. I might need a miracle. Or there'd be others where you have a wayward child. You raise them the best that you possibly can, and they're a prodigal, and you just, wow, we need a miracle here. Or there's something of an addiction going on, and you just know it's got a stranglehold around your neck and you just need a breakthrough, a miracle. These things are required of God. Lord, please bring a miracle to us, and it's important. So when we deal with these areas, it's going to be important. Number one, let's look at these very simple principles. You're aware of them, but there's a possibility we don't hang on to it as we set ourselves up to tap into a miracle. Look at number one on our notes. Believe the miracle. Believe the miracle. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 9. I've selected most of our references in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. So I'm reading from the New King James. If you have another rendering, that's fine. But look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. And by the way, Matthew chapter 9 is just loaded with miracles. Jesus has done so many miracles, especially right there in Capernaum. There'll be another time we'll show you that city that's left desolate because Jesus cursed the city when he said, listen, if the miracles I did to Sodom, Gomorrah, and others, and Sidon, if those were done in those cities, they would have believed. But you don't believe. There were more works done in your city than in those cities, and yet you don't believe. And he said, you're going to be lying desolate in ruins. And so we were there in those ruins. But check out some of these areas just to highlight Matthew chapter 9. First of all, remember, if you were to take a look at 9, that's the paralytic who is forgiven of his sins, and then he's healed by Jesus. And then the woman, still in chapter 9, she has the issue of blood for 12 years, and she's thinking to herself, if I could only just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Chapter 9. You have the dude that's mute, can't speak. He's healed as well. Jesus goes and brings, because he's being requested, my daughter just died, and he restores to life a young girl. Chapter 9, can you imagine? And here we have two blind men who are going to receive their sight. And I've selected verse 28 and verse 29. Jesus said, when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now take a look at our first line, believe the miracle. Now it's important. When you begin to take a closer look at the miracles of Jesus, there's a common theme, and it's faith. It's faith. Jesus asked them, do you believe I'm able to do this? Yes. Okay. Well, then according to your faith. So when we say, first point, do you believe a miracle? Do you believe God can do this? Are you ready for that according to your faith? That's going to be important. Sometimes we're not quite sure. What happens if we may not probably have the faith at all? Well, if you look at chapter 13 of Matthew, just for a moment here, just take a look at Matthew 13, 58, or write it down. Take it into your life group. 13, 58 says this, now he did do no many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because they were not able to believe, Jesus couldn't do the mighty works. Also, in Mark chapter 6, verse 56, says, now he could do no mighty works there except that he laid hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Verse 6, that he marveled because of their unbelief. So what happens if somebody says, I just don't really have that confidence? Well, there's an example of that. So I'm just saying, believe the miracle. Do you believe God can do that? Do you believe that God's prepared and primed to do that for you? Because it's important when we take a look how vital faith is in our relationship to God. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's important for us to take a look at that because God is wanting, as a wonderful, loving God, loving Father, wouldn't it be when somebody does something for you, his only desire for us to really reciprocate back to him would be, I believe. I really believe. He really requires nothing from you. What do you have that he needs? He really just saying, do you believe I'm able to do this? I'm wanting to be a part of your life. Do you believe? That's only what he's wanting to reciprocate back to him, how, Lord, how? Just believe. Just believe. It's going to be important for you and I to recognize that. When God starts to move in an undeniable way, you realize, wow, that is the Lord. That is the Lord. So the first point is, believe the miracle. Believe the miracle. How many times we might say, well, miracles, maybe. But I'm just wanting to say, expect some great things in your life. And it starts by saying, I believe. Number two, expect the miracle. It's going to be important. Believe the miracle is one thing. Once you recognize that, you expect it to happen. I believe God can do anything at any time, and he wants to work on your behalf. You would just have a great realization when you realize God's actually for you. He's really wanting to do some great things for your life. If you come to that element saying, I'm expecting God to work. Now, there's one thing that could be a little hindrance, because there are individuals that from time to time have what we would call father wounds, just poor representation of what a father is, because their own biological father really was not available in the way that they would want. Or, and they start to view God, the Father, in a way that is very difficult. In other words, like God is like a brick wall. He's on the other side, and he's very difficult to reach. Or the other aspect, they view God like being in a trash can. My life is so broken, so wasted, that God must just view all my broken parts, and it's the only way that I would have any kind of relationship is only coming from brokenness. Or others would view God like some set of stairs that the further up I get, the more I do, maybe God would accept me and do something more favorably for me. In other words, I need to acquire or accomplish something. But take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. In Matthew chapter 7, it says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So Jesus is saying, let's consider your heavenly Father, because we would all have some parents somewhere, even our dads, who would be viewed as not perfect. How's that? They would still want to accomplish something for us. Then he says, how much more so? Your heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask him. Now, this is an important point, because it has everything to do with the heart of God, has everything to do with the nature of God, because your heavenly Father wants to do something for you, not require something of you. Some would say, well, God's requiring and expecting something from me. But if you can view God as a Father in heaven who's wanting to assist, you can expect something from God. Expect that miracle. I believe God can do everything and anything. But can you now expect him to want to take care of you as a good heavenly Father? How much more so? And our dear dads who are here, our resources are limited. Matter of fact, maybe even our attitudes are limited, but not so with your heavenly Father. And all it takes is for you who ask. I like Matthew 7, verse 8 says, and everyone who asks receives. Can you see it right there? Yep. In Matthew 7, 8. Matter of fact, it's a good place to repeat that. For everyone who asks, what? Receive. Let's try it again. For everyone who asks, receives. So that's important. Everyone is what? Everyone. And what does it require? That you ask. Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. So we're talking about tapping into a miracle. And you and I might say, oh, yeah, I heard that. But don't wait for the storm, because I'll tell you, the storm will rock your faith and you won't have it. You won't have it. So you need to take a look at, do you expect that miracle when you need it? Because your heavenly Father wants to give you good things. He's really for you. He's really for you. He's not trying to do anything that's shifty or problematic. So it's important that we recognize that. He is for his children. Now, most people interpret God's word by their own experience. You know, you hear people say, oh, you know, God's word says this, but yeah, this is what really happened to me. It's like, oh man, they come up with some form of theology out of their experience. Watch out. I mean, they come up with this no conclusion when God says yes. You've got to be careful about that. When we start to take God's word and develop our own conclusion. In John 6, verse 63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So if you latch on the word and you're in need of a miracle, say, man, God's word says this. I'm now going to expect it. I believe the miracle. I expect it's going to happen. Nothing wrong with that. Do you believe? I do. How about number three? Pray the miracle. That's equally important. Let's go to Matthew 17. Because in God's divine plan, he does give us a part to play in the miraculous. And one of them, primarily, is the element of prayer. Prayer. Well, we have prayer, those prayers, you know how it is, long, heartfelt, a determined prayer, passionate prayer. Those areas where people just labor in prayer, cry out to God in prayer. All the things that have been lost in the decades of the church when they really had prayer meetings. See, those things don't really happen anymore. And we wonder why maybe God's not doing revival in our nation. Well, a sleeping church doesn't pray. And so prayer is so important. When we take a look at this, Jesus taught his disciples something when they could not cast a demon out of a person. Check it out with me. It's Matthew 17, 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer. And we'll take a look at that word. This kind does not come out except by prayer. So you can imagine that that group was probably not praying, probably not fasting. But it's important for us to recognize when we look at number three, pray the miracle. If you're into needing something from the Lord and you're going to tap into a miracle, are you praying? Are you praying? So you can see these elements need to be acquired and placed. It's important. Prayer isn't a designated punishment for us. It's amazing how it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm just not called to do that. That's just too difficult. Listen, prayer is really designed to develop a wonderful relationship with your Heavenly Father. And the more you pray, the more you spend time with those elements of just spending time, because we just went through learning to listen. I'm trusting that that benefited you and you're seeing things clearly. And as you pray and step into that discipline of prayer, you're going to find you start to change. Your life starts to change. Things start to develop. Matter of fact, your longings and your desires start to change and come into focus more like God's. And one of the sure ways of having your prayers answered is to pray the will of God. You'll find that very clearly in Scripture, but 1 John 5, 14 and 15, if we pray anything according to the will of God, he hears us. 1 John 5:14. And if we know he hears us, then we have the petition that we've asked of him. So it's important, pray that miracle. Pray that miracle. That's your participation with God. How often in the old ways of our upstart that we would just say, well, if it's the Lord's will, it will happen. Well, I'll just wait on him, or I'll let somebody else pray. How about you pray? Because miracles are very much a part of today. Very important. James chapter 2, verse 4, sure like that. It comes along in the area of just prayer because it mentions so clearly how that we are to, once again, discuss that element of prayer, how that our faith is enacted in that. And so, carry on. Number 4, be the miracle. Be the miracle. Faith does not actually come about until it's activated. Your faith doesn't really become faith until it's put into action. In James chapter 2, verse 18, talks about, you say that you have faith without works. Let me show you my faith by my works. So one of the things about having faith or the element of that, be the miracle. And I have the reference here in Matthew chapter 14. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 14. Because with that, verse 28, this is an unusual miracle because Peter walks on the water. Now, every miracle in Scripture is meeting human need. But this one, this is an unusual miracle that God actually invites Peter, join him on the water and walks with him. But check it out in verse 28 here. It says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And when they had got back into the boat, the wind ceased. It's interesting. Jesus had come. One of the things that is fascinating for us who believe, and that's you, is that when you're praying for a miracle, God might just say, step out of the boat, because you're an answer to that prayer. You need to take that step. You need to go and reconcile with that person. You go and make that deposit that's so necessary. You step out of the boat. That's what we talk about. Be the miracle. Faith in action. You say, well, I've got faith. Well, then let's put it into action. Because faith is no good when it's not being operating. It's going to be important for you to recognize, boy, God gives you the Spirit to move in your life and speak things to you like we've been hearing, listening so clearly, but it's the faith, your faith, that brings it into the natural realm. So if you ever just see something in Scripture and say, wow, that is so right on. That just really blesses me. I just like that. That ministers to my spirit. I am all for that. But nobody else catches it, and nobody sees a miracle. It's going to take your faith, God's Spirit. But now your faith is going to have to step out of the boat and be the miracle. That's where some of us might say, you know, I really like to be more comfortable in this oozy zone of mine. But God's wanting to do something. God's wanting, you're wanting to tap into miracles, these simple little principles. Nothing big here. But you might take an evaluation saying, when that miracle is needing to happen and my emotions are rocking my faith and it's non-existing, what was it that I need to apply? What was it that I need to do? And we take a look. A true sign of faith is obedience. It's where it's at. It's where it's at. Oh, yeah, I believe. Well, are you obeying? Has God shown you something? You've been listening to the Lord. I think I am. Are you? Because faith is really visible when it's put into action. Stories in the Bible are not just reminders that God does those things in the past. He wants to do them in the present tense. I'm anticipating those things happening more frequently here at Hope Chapel. I'm anticipating them happening to you there who are watching. and you dialing up or sending us an email, guess what God's doing in my home, in my business, in my community? Because I am going to be a person that believes in miracles. I'm going to start with faith that God can still do miracles. I'm going to live every day with expectation that God's going to do that. It's just his heart. It's his nature. He's for me. He wants to give things for me. He's not wanting to take things from me. And cultivate a posture of prayer. If you haven't gotten into prayer lately, man, that is the unit that brings you and God together. He gives you that dominion. Wow, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't everything just sweep through your home and through your community because you're praying and seeing what God's going to do? And finally, begin to take that step, that walk of faith. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. What do you have to lose? God will pick you up. Yeah. Don't worry about your reputation. Don't worry about that. Let God handle your reputation. He would like to actually shine his reputation through you. Well, with that in mind, I'm going to just welcome those who are helping serve communion. We're going to have communion right now. What a great way. Who knows? God's going to do something through our time of communion, our reflection, our reminder, his suffering on the cross, power of his resurrection, his ascension. He's at the right hand. You know what he's doing there? He's interceding for you. If you didn't pray for yourself this morning because the extra hour of sleep wasn't quite adequate, Jesus is praying for you. And so have we. Let's enjoy ourselves. Man, we got a Heavenly Father who wants to give you good gifts. And I think he really wants to just knock the socks off of you and impress you with things and ways that if you just allow him and quit trying to work your own program, you're going to see some great things and we will rejoice together. Well, if this is your first time visiting Hope Chapel or you who are watching, please join us in communion. The only requirement is you've declared Jesus as your Savior and Lord. I want to invite you to do just that. We're going to serve the communion elements at this time. Let's wait till we've all been served, then we'll come back and participate together. Thank you. Highlight right now just the opportunity just to take your finger and separate the wafer from the top of the cup. Let's take a moment right now, especially for our guests who are here and those who are watching, just to pause, close your eyes, and take that moment right now. because of your deep need for Jesus. That's the only way a person can come to him. That God would grant all of us repentance. It's a gift. Repentance is a gift. You recognize you're not doing it God's way. You're not living for God. You want to turn your life over to him right now. That the Lord would grant our nation repentance. We all come to Christ. Lord, we come. And we thank you for salvation of our souls through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We believe. As you lift that portion up, we're going to take the wafer first and foremost. What a wonderful thing when we talk about healing and what healing's all about, not just physically, but if there's anything that's shattered, anything that doesn't feel like it's going right, can you believe for that miracle? Maybe you become the miracle. Something of God's divine wisdom shows and shines in your heart. You realize, I now know what God is doing, and I'm a part of that to bring health and wholeness. Let's lift that wafer up. Go ahead and snap that. Father, we thank you for the healing that is ours through Jesus Christ. We are grateful. That healing took place on Calvary's cross and was declared perfect by the resurrection. Lord, you defeated death for us, and we want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and have that wafer. So we lift our cup. Beautiful element once again. Jesus says, this cup symbolizes my shed blood. It was shed for you. As often as you have this cup, you show yourself my death till I come for you. So he did that for you. When we participate with this cup, we are declaring Jesus is my Savior. He did die to remove my sins. Let's make sure as we head our merry way today, no sin, no sin. And just to take a moment, if there's something that just makes us grieve because it's a repetitive thing or element of a bondage, man, let's believe for that miracle right now. Let's believe not only forgiveness of sins, but complete victory from that thing that might be shackling you. So, Father, we thank you. We believe in the name of Jesus, victory today, victory today. And Lord, we just want to add as well, the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation. Not that you tempt, Scripture says. God tempts no man, but he's drawn away and enticed by his own lust. So Lord, we're asking, Lord, you steer us away from those things that you know we already have hang-ups on. And we lean toward and peek into and just gravitate toward, Lord, lead us not into those temptations. We're going to ask at our communion time, we're going to find a greater strength to say, not anymore. My life is in the hands of God. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to welcome our worship team up. And as they assemble to just play one last song, I'm going to dismiss you. We did not have altar prayer this service after our first song. I don't know if you recognize the absence of that. But we do want to give opportunity if you're needing prayer. We're going to dismiss you to go ahead because we recognize for some, get your children or come on back with your children. Or you just need to go. We're so grateful that you came today. But we do want to give opportunity for the Lord to do what he does so well, to help us. He's our very pleasant help, especially in time of trouble. So whether it's for you or for somebody you know that's needing prayer, I'm going to invite us all to stand to our feet. We're going to sing one song, but in a moment here, if you're needing prayer, and I'm going to invite our life group leaders, if they would station themselves up front here. I know the McCurdys, we won't leave you too long here. That'd be, and our staff as well. If we have our staff pastors that can come and assist as well. If you're needing prayer, if you'd make it to the center aisle, that would be very helpful for us to recognize who we need to pray for and for how long as well. But let me send you off with a blessing. So glad that you're here. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing, not just today, moving in the future. So, Father, we just thank you for your hand in our lives, and that, Lord, you're beautiful. Man, you do beautiful work. And thank you for allowing that beauty to be displayed. I pray over every person here that can hear my voice as well, that, Lord, somebody's going to say, hey, what is it about you? You look different. You look better. And, Lord, may we voice it and say, I was at Hope Chapel, and we talked about Jesus. So, Lord, we want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming. We're going to start praying. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.